Well, there's another battle going on, and it's been going on for quite some time. That's between the U.S. and China in their fight over currency. And the latest shot across the bow came from U.S. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner. He was at the Brookings Institution yesterday.
When large economies with undervalued exchange rates act to keep their currencies from appreciating, that encourages other countries to do the same. And this sets off a dangerous dynamic, described first, I believe, by my former colleague Ted Truman, as competitive non-appreciation.
Here with us to explain what competitive non-appreciation is, we have Louise Story, finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning.
Good morning.
Competitive non-appreciation. What exactly is he talking about?
This is economics speak, and what he's referring to is when you have lots of different countries out there that don't want to let their currency rise in value along with the rest of the currencies in the world. And the reason countries would not want to do this is a lot of countries feel they get a competitive edge in their exports if their goods are cheaper. And so they want to keep their currency down. It's not just China, you know, lately, and Geithner brought this up, you know, you've seen Japan make some actions, Brazil make some actions that are also keeping the value of their currency down.
Well, we have the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, meeting today and also an upcoming meeting with the World Bank. Is it significant that Geithner is making the speech at the Brookings Institution right before these big, important meetings?
Absolutely. And what you're seeing is a questioning of the power of the U.S. as a superpower, because there's a rising realization that the U.S. may not be able to force China to do what it wants. China's very aggressively said they're not going to just buck to the U.S. For instance, just yesterday, the Chinese premier warned in Brussels that if they just let their currency soar upward, it could lead to social unrest in China. And so the reason Geithner is putting this out there right before these key meetings of the World Bank and the IMF is he is hoping the rest of the world, other Western economies, will come to the United States side and also put pressure on these countries that are keeping their currencies down.
But again, that the power of the United States to pressure the IMF or the World Bank or any other country is dubious, especially in light of recent reports showing that the growth of the global economy probably won't come from the U.S., but places like China and Brazil.
It is dubious. And so, you know, Geithner, he had a laundry list of things he was trying to warn about that could happen to countries if they don't let their currencies go up. He said it could lead to inflation in those countries. It could lead to asset bubbles in those countries. He said they may become overly reliant on their exports. They may see their consumption go down. It's almost like he was grasping for any warning he could make on why it's in their self-interest to do it. But again, you know, as I said, officials from China don't think it is.
Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times.
And they're right, I guess. The Chinese holding all that debt, they are reality at this point economically. And Geithner's the last member of the economic team there.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. In other news, we did want to announce that there has been a decision for the Nobel Prize for Literature in 2010. Peruvian writer Mario Vargas Llosa won the 2010 Nobel Prize in Literature. Later in the hour, we're going to take a look at books, not the books of Mario Vargas Llosa, but books that shape our world with a discussion of titles that inform the political philosophies of the Tea Party. And we want to get your take on this. Are there some books that sort of help to shape your political philosophy, your viewpoint on politics? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE.